owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Hello, folks. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Special welcome to those of you tuning in on 1100 KFMX Independent Talk, our new affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to American Warrior Radio to all of you. Here in American Warrior Radio, we tell the stories of the men and women of our military and those who support them. Today's show is going to feature one of each. It's not unusual for us to receive requests from studios or publicity folks to have actors, musicians, or high-profile athletes on the show. Now, believe it or not, not everyone makes the cut. Playing a military character in a movie or a television series isn't enough. There has to be a stronger connection and commitment to the ideals that we support here at American Warrior Radio, supporting those who wear the uniform or the badge. Gary Sinise, Lee Greenwood, Herschel Walker, they made the cut. Today's guest also makes the cut with one added reason. When Matthew Marsden wrote and directed I Am That Man, he wanted the depiction to be accurate. So much so that he reached out to real veterans and asked them to give their opinions. That's a lot of respect right there. We're very pleased to have Mr. Marsden and one of the veterans he reached out to, Matt James, joining us on American Warrior Radio today. Let's start with the first, Matt. Matthew, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's a complete honor, and I'm very grateful that you would talk to me. So thank you very much.
Oh, Matthew, it's our pleasure. You're our first Brit ever on American Warrior Radio.
Yeah, I hope to be the one of many, I hope.
Well, it's...
Sorry, go on.
Well, I say it's been a couple hundred years, Matt. You know, no, we don't hold any grudges.
Hey, do you know what? I get this every day from Matt James. It's always about, yeah, well, we won't mention the 4th of July. Yeah, we won't mention that we kicked you out of the country. But yeah, like I say, I mean, I'm British by birth, but American in my heart. So again, yeah, thank you for having me on. I'll take it all day long and twice on Sundays. So.
Well, let's get a little bit about you. You started your career, as people can probably tell, in the UK, but you decided to move to the U.S. Why is that? Is it sort of like the famous bank robber said that, you know, why do you rob banks? He said, well, that's where the money is. Is the U.S. really where the film careers are?
It really is. I mean, it was more than that for me because I grew up really loving America from afar, and I didn't really know why. You know, because they actually, and we were talking about this last night, we're not taught about the War of Independence in English schools. So, funnily enough.
Yeah.
So I always used to, I loved America, I loved watching like Dukes of Hazzard and all the American TV shows and movies. Rocky was a real inspiration for me because, you know, it taught me that, you know, because I'm from a very working class background, and it just taught me that if I work hard enough, that I can achieve anything that I want to achieve, you know, if I dedicate to it. And that kind of work ethic stayed with me. And so when I got the opportunity to come over to America to do American movies, which is, you know, I think the pinnacle of any actor's career, I jumped at it, you know, and seized it with both hands, you know.
Now Matthew, so you're here on a work visa then? You're still a UK citizen, yeah?
Yeah, I am. I'm on a green card. I mean, I've been here on and off for now 17, 18 years, but I actually become a citizen this year. So it's really amazing for me. I mean, I always say I've given my kids the best opportunity and the best leg up possible is that they are Americans. You know, so to me, it's going to be just one of the greatest moments of my life when I get to, you know, say that I can call myself an American and get that passport. It really means a lot to me.
Well, early congratulations to you, sir. Welcome to the tribe.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've got, I think, 38 acting credits, including Black Hawk Down, one of the Rambos, one of the Transformers, TV series, Helen of Troy. You were the lead there, CSI, et cetera, et cetera. You also have a hit single.
I do, yeah. I had a couple of hit singles because in the UK, you know, again, it's that work ethic. I said, you know, if I get a chance to make money, you know, in any capacity as a performer, you've got to have as many, you know, facets to be able to draw upon as possible. So, you know, I went off and I learned how to sing. not dance. I'm a terrible dancer, but I learned how to sing. I learned how to act, obviously, and try to get as much. So if I had to go into musical theater, if I had to do this or I had to do that, then I'd be able to maximize my earning potential, you know, because I never really expected to make it. You know, I never really expected. I thought, you know, if I can work, like I said, if I can work really hard, then I'll maximize my opportunities to get into the industry. But there's never any guarantees. So yeah, I did, I was very fortunate enough to get a recording contract with Columbia Records. And again, that's another one of those, you know, obsessions with coming to America, is that I wanted to be on the label that was Columbia Records, that, you know, all the, a lot of big artists, you know, Will Smith, Harry Connick Jr., a few of the other guys that have been a part of. So that's why I signed with them.
Well, sir, let's get into sort of the heart of what I want to chat about here today. The highest award, that the highest honor that the governor of the state of Kentucky can give someone is to grant them the title Kentucky Colonel, an honorary Kentucky Colonel. And you have been given that award because of your support of our military. Lots of military. What, Matthew, tell us, I read an interview. Did this really start for you when you were filming Black Hawk Down? I read an interview with you where you were talking with a ranger when you were doing that film, and what he said inspired you. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so I came over to do Black Hawk Down because I didn't want to come over to America and be a bum. You know, I wanted to come over and contribute, and you know, I didn't want to come over if I didn't have anything. And when I got Black Hawk Down, that was the first opportunity I had to come here. So I came over, and we were doing training at Fort Benning, which I just couldn't believe I got the chance to do. It was just the greatest thing. And we were sitting outside, and there was a young Army Ranger there. Couldn't have been any older than, like, 19 years old. And, you know, doing the actor thing, asking, oh, you know, what's your training? What's your mentality? What's this? What's your background? Where are you from? I eventually said, why did you join? You know, because when I grew up, a lot of my friends joined the military. But it was for a different motivation, you know. So I said to him, why did you join? And he said, for freedom. And as someone from Europe, that was the Europeans kind of even mock that, you know, oh, freedom fries or for freedom or America. And I never did. But to hear it coming out of the mouth of a soldier, it just floored me. And I said to him, well, you'd die for me, wouldn't you? It was a real moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I just went, oh, man, these guys are unbelievable. This is the greatest country in the world. You know, I can't believe I'll get the chance to be around these guys and be a part of something that is so special. And that was it. I'm like, you know what? I want to do as many military roles as I possibly can. I want to be able to portray these guys correctly. And I get to be, you know, what I believe is the best of Americans. You know, these are the guys that are the backbone of the greatest country there's ever been. You know, so that was the beginning for me. And then I started reading about I'm like, well, why is America so great? You know, why is it that these guys would die for the freedom of other people? It's not just Americans. They would die for me, a Brit, you know, because freedom is so important to them. So that's when I started reading about, you know, the War of Independence and the Constitution, you know, and all those kind of things, reading about the amendments and really understanding why America is what it is and why Americans are what they are and why it is such a, why it is the last best, greatest hope for the world, you know. And I think that when you come from somewhere else and you come here, you really appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like, I there's nowhere else to go, Ben. America is the last place, the last bastion of freedom on the planet.
Well, and Matthew, I'm so glad to hear you share that with our listeners. We have had one of your fellow actors, Gary Sinise, on, And he tells this story about standing there at the DMZ between North and South Korea and just how obvious it is, the difference between people who have liberty and people who don't. And just for our listeners, be advised that Matthew's such a sport. He's literally standing in the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel somewhere doing this interview. So if you hear some noises or a little wind in the background, that's what that's about.
Yeah, I apologize. There are worse places to be than near a Cracker Barrel. I have to say, can I just say this, Ben? I'm looking right now, and I love this. I'm looking right across the parking lot, and there's the flag is waving in the wind, and that is one of the things. When I first came back after we shot Black Hawk Down and after September the 11th, I was driving down the street, and every house had a flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
Every house, and people don't understand, like, even that is so special. Like, you can't do that in Europe anymore. You can't fly your flags anymore and be proud of your country. And Americans should never, ever let go of that. Ever. And I know they won't. And you guys are the best of them all. So that's why I want to do. And I love Gary. Gary's a very close friend of mine. And he's the real deal. And he really loves the veterans as well. So it's absolutely in the core of who he is, and with me also.
Matthew, thank you so much. When we come back, I want to talk a little more about this, the other projects you're involved in, but specifically your new movie, I Am That Man. You wrote it, you directed it, you acted in it. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live from a Cracker Barrel parking lot somewhere in the heart of the country by actor and strong military supporter, Matthew Marsden. Mr. Marsden, I got to tell you, you never know sometimes with a live show where things are going to go, but sir, I am so struck and lifted up by your passion for our country. And liberty and freedom and some of the things you've shared with us today.
Well, yeah, you know, I think, and thank you for that. I just think it's calling it as it is, you know, and trying coming to something, approaching something with an objective point of view, you know, not coming in with any kind of preconceived ideas and just say, you know, is America the greatest force for good in the world? And the answer is unequivocally yes. You
wow.
know, and I always look at America like this. Like, America is the kid on the block that has all the toys, right? So either you want to come and you want to knock on the door and play in the yard with all the toys and enjoy them, or do you want to go around there and try and kick it over, smash the toys, and let them not have those things as well? And I think that the majority of people, if you do get out there, the press kind of doesn't say it like this, but the majority of people I know love America. I mean, even the ones, this is the funny thing, even the people that complain about this country, if you were to say to them, hey, do you want to come and live here? They'd be like, oh, yeah. So, you know, I think that's the irony about it is that, you know, I've always loved America. When I got here, it was better than I ever thought it would be. You know, even with you know, watching what I saw on television. And I think that American people genuinely, I really believe this, are good. Mm-hmm. You know, this basis of good in them. And again, it's because of, I believe, that what the country was founded on. And we cannot let that go. We cannot let that go because the world would just be a much worse place.
Well, I tell you, Matthew, I share that. I was raised overseas and came to the United States when I was 9, and it truly was the land of milk and honey. But listen, so I know you're very engaged with the military, supporting them. You've parachuted with the Golden Knights. You've even trained with the German Navy Kampfswimmers. Pretty good stuff. But as a citizen, you know, far be it for me to give a prestigious actor advice, but listen, danger zone. When you get on a plane, maybe play something else in your headphones, okay? I'm just busting your chops. We had that as our intro music for a number of years, and I had so many of the military guests say, "Man, get rid of that music." But anyway, let's talk about your new film, I Am That Man. Sort of introduce a storyline for us. Don't give too much away. Obviously, we want people to buy tickets or rent the film, but tell us about I Am That Man.
Okay, well, the movie I Am That Man is about a Navy SEAL that comes back from war, and he's trying to basically integrate himself back into civilian life. When he was away, he and his wife split, so he's trying to basically get back to being a father, being a husband in the best way that he can, giving the experiences that he's had being away. And also, you know, just to live regular life, you know, he's just, you know, the loss of having that brotherhood, and kind of figuring out the way that the world kind of works, you know. But I wanted to do it because there's so much garbage that comes out of Hollywood that really doesn't tackle things in, you know, show veterans in the correct light, but also just show the things that they have to deal with on a daily basis, you know. And that's the crux of the film. And as you said, I went to, over the years, working on a lot of different films and working with military, all I'd hear is how frustrated veterans were and active duty military were with the way that Hollywood was portraying them. And I said, you know what? I've got a chance to put this right. You know, even if I do, it's probably the only time in my career that I'll be able to call all the shots, because the film was independently financed. I went out to all the guys, sent the script around and said, what would you like for a film to tackle? And what has annoyed you with the way that veterans have been portrayed in the past, and how can I rectify that? And so I set out to do that in I Am That Man, and it's always a gamble, right, when you go out there, but it seems to be hitting the spot, which I'm very, very grateful for.
Now, Matthew, I've had, I've had three men who actually were involved in the actual Black Hawk Down, a Delta Force operator, an Army Ranger, and a commander with the 10th Mountain Brigade. When I have particularly the Special Forces folks on, like your character, John Beckett, the Navy SEAL, one of the things, a common theme I hear is that challenge in transitioning to civilian life. They feel like they've lost their tribe. They've lost their sense of purpose. Was that in the back of your mind when you gave John Beckett, the character John Beckett, a sort of a chance at renewal with the assault and a way to rediscover his purpose in civilian life?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we have the Spartan Pledge in the film, and it talks about having a new mission when you come home. And I think that was really, really important. And again, all I want to do with this film is I want a dialogue to happen when veterans watch it. You know, whichever element, because when we've screened it, different people have come up to us with different comments. I had a woman come over and cry and said, "Listen, my husband works at Home Depot, you know, and he lumps, he does a lot of heavy lifting every day, lumping things from one place to the next. And you know what, you portray that in the film and you show that it's, you know, he's an honorable man and he, you know, he's coming back and he's, you know, he's working to provide for his family." And, you know, we don't see those things in Hollywood anymore. We don't see, you know, the dignity in a man just providing for his family. Mm. And again, it's one of those things, you know, you come back, you might be like, say, an airborne ranger or an infantryman or whatever you might come back from being, and you had a mission, you had a focus, you knew what you were doing every day. You know, you're respected in your position of whatever it was you were doing. And then you come back to civilian life and you don't have any of that anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's a very simple thing, but it's just something that I believe that it's nice for, you know, veterans to come back and go, "Oh, somebody actually cares, you know, somebody gets it." And I think that's really important. So, you know, whatever aspect, whatever issues you might be going through, and, you know, I Am That Man is one of hope. It's not one of those. It's not a cheesy film where, you know, the guy is, you know, off in a corner crying. I mean, it's very uplifting, I think, mm-hmm. and that's what I wanted to show. But also to foster a conversation between veterans where they might not want to come out and say certain things and they feel awkward that, you know, they can't express themselves in a certain way. And I've said that, like Matt will tell you this, that I've had guys come and talk to me that they would never say stuff to a fellow veteran, but because it's like kind of I'm in a safe space where I've spent a lot of time around veterans, but I'm not in the community, you know. And this is what I wanted to do with I'm That Man, is kind of open up more of a dialogue, you know. It doesn't matter where you are. Like, I am that man. I am a veteran. I'm a dad. I'm having problems here. I'm doing really well over here, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and to come to an acceptance of where we are as men and women who have served, just be okay with where you are and not put more pressure on yourself to be somewhere else or be someone else at that moment in your life. It's okay to be exactly where you are. You know what I mean, Ben? Like,
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, Matthew, one thing I appreciated about the film, are you familiar with the name B.J. Burkett?
Yes, of course, yeah.
You know, when I had him on the show, what really spurred him into the Stolen Valor arena and all that, he was so fed up with this image that was being promulgated out there of the broken, crazy Vietnam veteran. And, you know, that stereotype is something that I appreciated in your film. You address the challenges he's having integrated, but he's not a Rambo. He's not snapping somewhere. This is a healthy man trying to provide for his family and dealing with some dynamics that happen in his community, period. And I really enjoyed that about the film. You didn't sensationalize it.
Yeah, well, it's really difficult to get a movie like this made in Hollywood because that's what they want. I mean, I had that conversation with multiple people. Like, oh, well, you want him going and doing this here and doing that. And I'm like, that is why I'm not making it with you, because that's not... Those aren't the people that I know that I speak to every day. You know what I mean? They have their moments, mm-hmm. you know, where, you know, it's a bad day. We all do. I know that, you know, sometimes living in Los Angeles, you know, if I had a cat, they'd be running for the door when I get in sometimes. You know, like, don't kick me. But everyone has a bad day. But it has been, like, the drama is sensationalized by Hollywood, and it's pretty much never in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's pretty much always in a negative way. And like I said, I was fed up of hearing veterans, I mean, not fed up with them, but fed up with hearing the constant drumbeat that Hollywood wasn't doing it right. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and do it right. And I resisted against, I mean, look, it would have been a lot easier for me to get the movie made, go to a studio, get a ton of money. And then it would have come, people don't understand. They come in and they go, well, we want this. We want to see him hitting the bottle. We want to see him going crazy. We want to see him punching the wall. And I'm like, well, okay, you go make that movie. That's not the movie I'm going to make. I'm going to make the movie of the people that I want to spend the majority of my time with, actually. When I'm, you know, like, I hang out with veterans all the time because I don't know, that you guys are more my people than the Hollywood set. You know, so I wanted to just tell a simple story and show the way that veterans really are. I thank you very much for saying that, because I think it's really important.
Matthew,
go on.
Well, I should be in the parking lot there with you. Particularly, I love Cracker Barrel. I just want to throw that in there myself. But you know, I started the show by saying we are approached by studios. You know, and there was one particular major motion picture where they wanted the lead actress on, or they asked to have the lead actress on the show. And, yeah, it's great name recognition for American Warrior Radio, but I looked into her background. Other than playing a role, there was no record of her doing anything whatsoever to support the military,
yeah,
or even comment in the public. So that's really part of, you know, when the other Matt approached me about this, I thought, well, let me look into this fellow's background a little bit. And I really love the fact that you checked in with other veterans to give you feedback. Was there anything of that feedback that caused you to edit something out of the final product of I Am That Man?
Yeah, and there was something that was said specifically that made me actually write a scene in. And I was talking to Boone Cutler, mm-hmm. and he said, you know what, Matt? He said, we got an opioid problem. And that was something I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm qualified to even address that. You know, like, who am I to turn around and say, you know, are the issues that veterans go through with opioids? And he went, no. This needs to be said. And you can probably remember the scene that's in the film. I don't want to say about it until people go see it, but I wrote the scene about that, about the opioid issue in the film. And that was a big leap for me, you know, because you don't want to be. It only takes one thing for people to say, I don't believe this yeah. anymore, or who the hell is this guy doing this? He doesn't understand, you know. So I wrote it, I sent it back to Boone, I sent it to Matt, and I'm like, hey guys, and they went, no, this is perfect. And the one thing I wanted to show was I didn't want to have, you know, the John Beckett yabbering on all the time, like I do. I didn't want him talking all the time. I just wanted, you know, he's a considerate guy. You know, he's all right. He keeps it in. He's not like you're saying. A lot of these films show these guys externally snapping. You know, like going out and doing things externally out. And from my experience, you know, I mean, I had just to say once I was with a friend of mine. He was helping me move, and then I turned around, and he was gone. And I was like, where's he gone? And I'll go out and he's in the driveway of my house, sitting behind the wheel, gripping the wheel.
Mm.
You know, and he didn't say anything to anyone. He wasn't losing it. He wasn't going crazy, but he was dealing with a moment right then. And then he got out the car and he's like, hey, I'm sorry, dude. I just needed a moment on my own. And I'm like, you got it. And you can't, and this is something I was saying to Matt yesterday, and I want to tell all the veterans here that are listening. The majority of Hollywood films and Hollywood TV shows, the reason why you get so frustrated is they write about the other films they've seen. Okay? Mm. So they don't go out and speak to veterans. They don't. You know, they'll watch a film, they'll go, oh, that's a veteran. That's what that's. Oh, remember when I saw this film? Okay, well, I'm going to take that character from there. And so that's why it's really imperative that we do a good job and we portray people correctly, because there's a lot of laziness out there, you know?
Well, sir, I really enjoyed the film and I appreciate the opportunity. With your permission, we're going to kick it over to Matt James here after the commercial break. He's one of the veterans you asked for his feedback on the show. And, you know, if you want to run into Cracker Barrel real quick, Matthew, that's okay. But stick around. If, you know, feel free to, I know you guys are sharing one phone, so feel free to jump on if Matt James says something you disagree with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, right here on American Warrior Radio. We've been talking with Matthew Marsden. Next, we're going to have one of the veterans, Matt James, who provided his feedback and endorses this film, I Am That Man. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We just finished talking with Matthew Marsden, the actor, director, producer, everything of a new film called I Am That Man. I encourage you to find it somewhere and watch it. It's a very, very good film. Now we're going to talk with Matt James. Matt is one of the veterans that Matthew spoke with about trying to make sure this film was as accurate as possible and represented the philosophy and the spirit of what Matthew wanted to present. Matt is a paratrooper and was a tactical communications specialist in the United States Army, medically retired after injuries sustained during combat operations in Iraq. Now, Matt, I understand that you were awarded both the Bronze Star for saving a Marine's life and a Purple Heart, actually awarded by President Bush himself, huh?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, brother. Yeah, I was wounded during combat operations in Iraq back in May of 2005. And while I was at Walter Reed, the president visited the hospital, and I was fortunate enough to be one of the soldiers that he personally met with and awarded the Purple Heart.
Now, Matt, I got to tell you, you came to me through our mutual contacts at the Havoc Journal, but you're kind of a hard man to find. I mean, the only photos I can find of you on the interweb is you palling around with movie stars and presidents. What's your story? What do you actually do in the civilian world now?
So at Walter Reed, when I realized that I wouldn't be able to stay in the military and that I was going to be medically retired, I went on a work program at the Pentagon, and back then, offensive capabilities in the cyber realm were kind of faux pas. And I was kind of introduced to it, and I met someone who said, hey, you know, there's still more than one way to fight in this war, right? So I really got into cybersecurity and the capabilities that surround that. You know, over about a 7-year period, I worked at various departments and agencies with the federal government, and I left in 2013 to go to the private sector, where I continued my work, and then eventually landing where I am now is the director of cybersecurity and risk management for a firm called ID.me. For your listeners who might use the VA, you might have recognized our service, you know, getting your service verified so that you can get access to veteran services. And, you know, it really kind of the stars aligned and I got this position, and I can say that I have my professional experience that matches up with an awesome mission. And, that's what I do now. But, as it relates to social media, you know, during certain positions, you know, you can't have a whole lot out there. So I tend not to ever talk about my professional life on social media. It's not that I'm ashamed of it or anything like that. It just, you know, people tend to ask lots of questions.
No, fair enough.
I'm not, yeah.
I mean, frankly, one of the Havoc Journal guests we have on regularly has to come on under an assumed name because of the nature
right.
of what he does in his life. So tell me, how did you come into contact with Mr. Marsden and sort of walk us through how you got to a parking lot of a Cracker Barrel?
I actually don't remember the exact impetus of when I met Matt, but I know it was through a mutual friend. You know, we just started kind of talking, and then he said, hey, you know, I'm going to be in the D.C. area filming this documentary during the 4th of July. Do you want to come hang out? And I was like, boy, would I? Because at the time, I was really trying to kick off a documentary of myself, just kind of talking about being a wounded vet post-service. And I thought it was kind of cool that this guy wanted me to come out, but I was still hesitant because I'm like, okay, Hollywood guy, he's probably going to put me on camera and be like, oh, wounded vet this, wounded vet that, and, you know, kind of exploit me. But, you know, I went out because I wanted to learn, and he had a full production crew there, and, you know, they taught me about filming, being a director of photography, producing, things like that. And I got to hang out with him for the 4th of July, and he never asked anything of me. And that's where things kind of kicked off. And at no point did I ever feel like Matt was, you know, using my status within the veteran community or anything like that. And we just kept in touch, and he would ask me questions about certain things in the veteran community. And, you know, he's just a really good friend, and, you know, we've remained in contact, which, you know, we are where we are now, in a parking lot of a Cracker Barrel.
We should have a contest how many times we can refer to Cracker Barrel in one show.
Yeah, maybe you'll get a sponsorship out of it. Right?
Now you're talking my language. That's that whole Ranger Up coming in there. So,
there
Matt, he strikes me as a very grounded guy. What was your take on the film and sort of our show prep? You mentioned there might be some, I use the quotation fingers, some weird civvy moments. You know, one thing that just kind of struck me that made me smile and watching the preview, you know, does every retired Special Forces guy drive a classic American muscle car?
All Special Operations guys drive muscle cars.
Okay.
That's my experience, but I actually gave him a lot of hell because I wanted it to be a Ford Mustang, and he completely ignored me because I'm a Ford guy, and, you know, apparently I don't have that much say. But it was really great because, you know, talking about the relationship, you know, friendship with Matt, he contacted me about this time last year, actually. He said, hi, Matt, I've got a script I want you to read. And I'm thinking, oh, God, okay, Matt, all right. You're going to ask for my input, but you're just trying to, you know, sound cool. And he sent me the script for I Am That Man. It was called something else at the time, you know, working title. But I started reading through it without spoiling the movie. There's a scene where he opens a shadow box and there's a decoration in there. And in the original script, you know, it was a significantly high metal. And I was like, look, these little things are why it's important that you get us to look at it, because don't use that metal. Use this other metal or whatever. Right. So. I actually looked through it, I marked it up, I sent it back, and I'm like, okay, whatever. This guy's just doing whatever. But he actually incorporated everything that I had suggested, or at least, you know, tried to mold it a certain way. And it really stuck out to me because I was like, okay, like this guy's actually doing it the right way, or at least this production is doing it the right way. So that is why I'm trying to help him get the word out about it, and also future projects that'll come up relating to it.
So overall, Matt, what was your, I mean, clearly you're endorsing the film. Like I said, I enjoyed it as well. I really, to me, one of the striking undercurrents of the script and the film also was the relationship with his family, with his boy, and his wife. And again, not to give too much away, but sort of how that the wife character really comes into her own strength and her own purpose towards the end of the movie. Did you feel that was a sort of an accurate depiction of the challenges that particularly some of these special operators face trying to reintegrate?
Yeah, not just special operations guys, just veterans as a whole. I think it was really great that he captured a powerful female character. You probably picked up throughout the film that she was never really defeated. She was always a rock for him. And I think that happens so much in reality that we rely on our family, and that our spouses have to go through so much with our deployments and our training and everything else, that I think it struck a really good balance. And I think that'll help, you know, strike a tone with veterans themselves.
You know, I was recently married, and what really touched me about the film was even to a point of coming down on the side of her husband versus her own family, and that point where she stands up there, that was really really special and really powerful. Matt, stick with us a little bit. We've got to pay for this show. Maybe, you know, we'll get on the line with Cracker Barrel. But ladies and gentlemen, your host Ben Bueller Garcia here on American Warrior Radio. If you like what you're hearing, visit patreon.com, patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. You can kick in a few bucks a month and get some really, really cool swag as a reward. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with two Matts about a new film, I Am That Man, that tells the story of a character by the name of John Beckett, a Navy SEAL, see the movie. See the movie. It's a good show. Matt James, the veteran yourself, you're providing some feedback on the film. Let me ask you the same question I asked Mr. Marsden. You know, particularly on Havoc Journal, where we both spend a lot of time, there's a lot of conversation back and forth about this image, this caricature of the broken veteran, you know, and the person that's just, you know, just one moment away from snapping and going crazy. What is your take on that, and how the things that you appreciated about I Am That Man addressing that subject?
So, yeah, I mean, as you guys have discussed, there's definitely in media, in mass media, television, and feature films and film in general, there's this constant regurgitation and portrayal of the broken veteran that's going to do something or ends up doing something nonstop. And as you know, I mean, we all roll our eyes at it because while we don't deny that there are some of our brothers and sisters that are having problems, we don't subscribe to the fact that it is as common as it's being made out to be. And one of the really unique, interesting things that Matt did when he wrote this script is that as people watch the film, it's almost like this character feels in different scenes like it's building up and it's going to get to that point. Oh, here we go. We've all seen this before. He's going to snap, but it never happens. And what that does is it allows him to portray a strong character that carries a load. And he's carrying this load throughout the film. And it is what it is, because that's part of, you know, when you're a service member and you've gone through and you've seen things, it, you know, you got to carry that load. And sometimes you need someone to help carry your ruck for you. And I think there's some good supporting characters that do that, as well as his family.
That's a very, very good point. What, Matt, how do you think the film would have been different if the character was not a former Navy SEAL and instead was, you know, maybe an, I don't know, an Army tactical communication specialist?
Right. So this is an interesting thing that I've learned since I've been asked to help on some productions. And by the way, I have no buy-in on this movie. I'm not getting paid. I won't get paid. This is just me trying to help Matt out because it's difficult. But one thing that I learned is there's certain things that you still have to try to include to widen the net a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I rolled my eyes at first when he was like, oh, great, another Navy SEAL. Gee golly, I wouldn't have guessed that, right? But what is flawless in his writing of this film and the screenplay is that the character doesn't lean on that too much, if at all, right? And it's a nuance that I think he did very well with. You know, the good part is some of the supporting characters and actors, the characters themselves come from all the different walks of life as veterans from the film itself. So, you know, I think it's important that it's difficult to make a production without nitpicking some things, but I think all of your listeners who are veterans would know if we made a film 100% true to the exact details of day-to-day life in the military, it would suck. It would be terrible.
Nobody would watch it.
Because, you know, I was a tactical communications specialist paratrooper. I descended from the skies with my parachute. But it would be boring if I'm like, yeah, on a Monday I went to the motor pool and I checked the oil that I checked last week and I didn't even drive the vehicle. And then Tuesday I'm checking my other equipment. And then, you know, Wednesday we're trying to sham to get out of sergeant time, right? Like, you got to find that really good balance. And I think Matt did a really good job with that.
As a retired vet yourself, was, I'm getting ahead of myself. One thing that struck me, you know, the whole, in the garage where the chest full of weapons that apparently everybody gets to bring back home with them from someplace. But one thing, when you talk about nuances, there's one that really jumped out at me along those lines. And again, I'm not going to give away too much of the story, but it really struck me at the end of the film. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? And it was very powerful. And folks, you got to see the movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Scene. Yeah, that very specific scene that we will not divulge. That was the home run. That was the cleanup hitter that knocked it out of the park because as you're watching it, and I know you'll agree, you're like, oh, God, here we go. And then it is such a great nuanced twist that I think every veteran will be like, okay, that was actually pretty cool. Okay, that's legit.
Yeah, masterful. Very masterful.
Yeah, masterful.
What other subjects and underlying themes, Matt, as a veteran, did you feel that the film did a good job of making those of us in the civilian world think about when we see the film?
So, yeah, I think it's important that it really is a night and day, hot to cold situation when you come from a deployment, right? And then you're immediately thrust back into this life of Americana. And there's a certain amount of disbelief and frustration because you know when you're talking to just, you know, Joe Nobody on the street that they have no concept of what you've been through. And that's heavy, man. Like, it can cause frustration. It can cause resentment. It can cause all sorts of things. And you know, the only thing that can make things better is to be around your brothers and sisters in arms, right? So, I think his supporting cast, the characters that were portrayed, covered that. And it's very important that for reintegration, so to speak, in society, that we have that safety net, right? And I thought it was a masterstroke for how the screenplay was written. And it hit the right tones.
Well, wonderful. You got me thinking. We've had Matthew on. We've got Matt James on. Maybe let's go for a future show for the trifecta. Can you put me in touch with Matt Best?
Matt Best, yeah. I mean, we can always reach out to him.
Well, that was a not very discreet way of giving you the opportunity to promote. Go ahead. It's my show. You can do it. You know, tell us a little bit about Ranger Up.
Oh, so, well, Matt Best doesn't work for Ranger Up. He's with Black Rifle Coffee, which is a fantastic veteran-owned company that we proudly call them friends, man. They're great, right? So with Ranger Up, I'm actually not an actual employee of them. I'm more of an advisor. But if you go to rangerup.com, you can pick up a new T-shirt. Ooh, I shouldn't do this, but I think I will. I actually have a special discount code.
No, don't do it.
Oh, it's special, though. Nick might get upset. Whatever. Go to rangerup.com and put in promo code Friend of James. I think it's Friend of James. And you can get, I think, 20% off, maybe 25. I don't remember. But, yeah, you should do that.
And tell them American Warrior Radio sent you.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, we're really happy with you guys. You guys have been fantastic. And when we threw out, like, hey, we're trying to help this guy with a movie, you were the first one to be like, hey, if you guys back it, then let's get you on and let's talk about it and talk through it. So we will never forget this.
Well, and I can tell you, honestly, as I've mentioned before, we do tend to be pretty careful about the type of folks that we do put on the show. And No offense to Mr. Marsden, but I didn't know who the heck he was. I had to look him up, and I saw his face. Like,
right.
Oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, this guy and your endorsement certainly made it real.
And that's what we want to do. We want to introduce him to the veteran community because he trust me, right? But he's one of the good guys. He's probably our last best hope, especially in that medium.
Well, Matt, thank you for setting this up, and thank you for your service and your time. And just, you know, we don't have a coffee advertiser on American Warrior Radio either. I'll just leave that out there. Cracker Barrel or coffee.
There you go. Cracker Barrel, Starbucks, Firehouse Subs.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt. And Matt, thank you for joining us. It's been a great show on American Warrior Radio. Once again, welcome to our new listeners on our 1100 KFNX affiliate in Phoenix. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.